Hey, movie lovers, I'm Maria.
And I'm Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah?
What's your favorite season?
Awards.
Oh, award season is officially over, you guys. That's right. The Razzies, or the Golden Raspberries, as they're formerly known, happened last week, and we have so much to discuss. The Razzies awards movies for the worst pictures, worst actor, director, and remakes of the year. The Oscars also happened last week, and I'll be honest, I've only heard of one of the Oscar nom movies, while I was much more familiar with many of the Razzies nominees.
Same. We'd really like to make this a tradition because, let's be honest, the Oscars are problematic in many ways. There's lack of diversity, there's theories about it being rigged or fueled by bribes, and just the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get an Oscar until 2015, and for The Revenant of all movies, that was like not even his best role. So we are just way more aligned with the Razzies. They're like the anti-Oscars. Their tagline is, "Own your bad." Which is basically like our creed here at Unsolicited Flick Picks.
100%. I think the only way I can do this podcast is to own my bag. So
exactly. That's very something much aligned. That's words to live by. So the name Golden Raspberry comes from, well, the noise you make, like the raspberry, like, and then gold to mimic, like, the golden Oscar statue / Golden Globe, you know, the classic gold trophy. So it's literally like a golden fart noise. So, that's pretty great. And so you can actually become a member of like their committee, and then you can go and vote and actually make a difference as to who wins the Razzies next year. So we are definitely like, going to do that before next year.
Sign me up.
And we have to get like a t-shirt. There's some t-shirts that we're definitely going to get.
I'm in. We could really use our voice on the committee.
I think so too. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to break down the categories, tell you who was nominated, the winners, whether or not we think it was deserved, and possibly some other colorful commentary. Let's get started with worst remake, ripoff, or sequel. The nominees were 365 Days, Doolittle, Fantasy Island, Hubie Halloween, and Wonder Woman 1984.
And the winner is
Doolittle!
Doolittle! All right. So I've actually seen two of these movies. I watched Fantasy Island just like a couple nights ago. I'm a sucker for like a bad horror thriller movie. And so like obviously it was terrible. But, like, it somehow has a happy ending.
Aww.
You get, like, a happy ending for a few of the characters, so I found that very unexpected. It has, like, a very wholesome ending for the most part. So, I mean, not what I was expecting. Like, I was expecting all the characters to just die very gruesome deaths. I was surprised by that.
I was watching Love Island probably a couple nights ago while you were watching Fantasy Island. It's a little more my
two
speed.
Sides of the same coin. Also, I had no idea that this was a remake. So after a quick Google, I found out that it was a remake of a movie of the same name from 1977.
Okay.
But it's like a comedy.
This was like a thriller,
uh-huh. Like horror thriller. That's like it had some like gore to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quite the shift in tone.
Gotcha.
All right. I mean, I'm probably not gonna watch the original. The other one that I saw was, of course, Wonder Woman. And, like, obviously, I'm kind of a nerd. I've seen pretty much all of the superhero movies, with some exceptions. But I'm usually the type of person that when I'm watching a movie, 9 times out of 10, I'm just sitting and enjoying it and not really picking it apart at that time. But then it's like when I go back and think about it, I'm like, oh wait, that was bad. There's like a Grand Canyon sized plot hole. But with Wonder Woman, I was watching it and I knew it was bad. Okay, there's a couple of scenes I need to tell you about. First of all, she barely did any like cool action scenes. Like for a lot of it, she was just Diana. And then a lot of her action scenes, she was like losing her power. So it was like not even...
What is her power?
She's like super strong, super fast. She's like a demigoddess, I think.
Like a Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah. Hence the name.
Was it Kristen Wiig?
No, it's Gal Gadot.
Oh, Gal Gadot. Oh,
yeah, okay. Kristen Wiig was the...
Was she in Wonder Woman?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. She was one of the villains.
Oh, okay. Of course, yeah. Gal Gadot.
Thanks. And I have some thoughts about that coming up.
Okay.
But, okay, so the other thing was that the whole concept of it was like, there were these mystical wishes, and they had very set rules on how these wishes worked. But then they broke all of the rules, and you're like, well, couldn't that person have just done that? And then the whole thing would be fixed. So there was like a lot of like plot holes in the main kind of climax of the movie that when my husband and I were watching it, we were like, what is going on? But the scene that I hated the most was there was this big fighting sequence on a highway. It was in like Egypt or Abu Dhabi or something. I'm not quite sure. I can't really remember. But it was in a bunch of different trucks. It was, you know, jumping from truck to truck. And like
Mad Max.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Very much. And then all of a sudden on the highway, there were a group of children playing soccer. And they're like, oh no, we're going to run into the children. So first of all, the children are in the middle of the highway in the desert playing soccer. Normal. And then they didn't hear all of the gunshots and the banging and the explosions. And they're still, and they didn't see this coming from the desert. And so she had to go and save them. And it was just like, I had to stop at that point. And lastly, a lot of people have talked about this, especially with 2020 vision, as we will call it. The whole thing is that with the wishes, Wonder Woman wishes that her dead pilot boyfriend could come back. And the way in which they achieve this is he hijacks her neighbor's body. So to everyone else, it looks like her neighbor, but just to her and to him, it's him.
Is her neighbor, what kind of person is her neighbor?
Not somebody that she would want to date.
Okay.
So this neighbor doesn't consent to anything that happens.
Where does the neighbor's
soul go? Undetermined.
Oh, he doesn't matter.
I guess not. Hmm. At the end, there's kind of like a scene like where she kind of gives him a knowing look. He's like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm your neighbor. And she's like, ha ha ha.
And she knows it's her.
Yeah. It's so weird. So it's like, if the roles were reversed, some woman had her body hijacked and then engaged in a relationship with a man.
Ooh.
I feel like people would have a problem with it, but because they're like, oh, it's Wonder Woman. Like, she's hot, so it doesn't matter. It was just weird.
Seems kind of soft.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing too. She does end up letting him go, so.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Well, maybe I'll watch that. No, I don't think I will.
I mean, up to you. And then, so, I did have plans on watching Doolittle because I'm a big RDJ fan.
Oh, me too.
So, I do probably have plans to watch Doolittle.
Just a fun fact, Eddie Murphy, actually, the OG Dr. Doolittle, apparently stepped away from acting after receiving one too many Razzie Awards. He was becoming quite the Razzie darling.
Oh.
And this is apparently what turned him off.
Eddie! Yeah. We're so sorry. We love you still.
We do.
I think. Okay. I honestly think that this should have gone to Wonder Woman. I think it was that bad. So the next category up is worst screenplay. Nominees for this are 365 Days, all three of the Barbie and Kendra movies, Doolittle, Fantasy Island, and Hillbilly Elegy. The winner for this is 365 Days, which I had never even heard of, but The concept is nothing short of horrifying. Let me read you the synopsis from IMDb. Massimo is a member of the Sicilian mafia family, and Laura is a sales director. She does not expect that on a trip to Sicily, trying to save her relationship, Massimo will kidnap her and give her 365 days to fall in love with him.
What?
What the hell? Is this like
90 Day Fiancé?
But with kidnapping?
For a year?
A year.
What?
This is billed as a drama romance. So you just know that she does fall in love with him in the end.
Oh.
Like, girlfriend, that is not love. That's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
No.
Honestly, that synopsis kind of makes me want to watch the movie.
It is not in English. It is like a foreign film.
Okay.
So you do have to read a little bit.
So there's subtitles. Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to deter you or not.
Yeah, it might.
It might. I'm not quick to watch that. Hmm. Sounds horrifying. I think this deserves the win because writing a screenplay, I gotta imagine, takes like a long time. And they had probably months, maybe years to change their mind and realize that this is a bad idea. And yet... Also, I am really happy that they nominated all of the Barbie and Kendra movies. I like that they were just like, no, they're all bad. We can't just choose one. And I have no idea what these were. I had to like look them up. And I have no interest in finding out anymore. In the words of Lucille Bluth, I don't understand the question and I won't respond to it. It felt very Florida. Like, all the bad. I don't know. I couldn't really find, I mean, it's not quite obvious what they were. There's one called Barbie and Kendra Save the Tiger King.
Which is the Tiger King, Tiger King.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Joe Exotic. Mm-hmm. One is called Barbie and Kendra Storm Area 51.
What?
So they sound topical.
Yeah.
Maybe the third one is Barbie and Kendra... rigged the election.
I 100% thought these were like the Barbie doll movies. Barbie and Kendra, Barbie and Ken.
Please, the Razzies know. Have some taste.
Oh, okay.
So did you see any of these?
Yeah, I saw Hillbilly Elegy and like watched it when I saw it on Netflix, was 100% good intentions watching it, and I thought it was really good. It starred Glenn Close and Amy Adams, and the plot follows this young guy. His name's Jay Dance, and it's actually his memoir that was turned into a movie. And so it follows him home from Yale Law back to his hometown in Ohio to deal with some family drama. His mom, played by Amy Adams, has just relapsed the night before. He has a really important job interview for law school, and so he... leaves his girlfriend at Yale and goes home to his family, and they live in like the Appalachian Valley, and they come from, you know, generations of addiction and trauma and family abuse. And it's really just one of those movies where you're just really an observer watching their life. So I think this is probably why it got nominated for the Razzies, because there was not a lot of like storytelling,
right?
Or
there wasn't like much of a plot. It was kind of just like a slice of life.
Slice of life.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, I can really relate to a lot of things that happened in this movie. So I think that's what made me like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, actually.
Wow.
And one for hair and makeup.
Okay.
So you got to see the actresses, Glenn Close and Amy Adams, from the movie. It's insane.
Okay. How they have a transformation. Okay.
Hillbillies.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
It's good.
All right. Okay, let's move on to Worst Director. So we have Charles Band for all 3 of the Barbie and Kendra movies. You have, Barbara Bialowas and Tomas Mendez for 365 days. Please don't come for me if I mispronounce those.
I think you did.
Stephen Gagan? Oh, no.
Doolittle?
Stephen G for Doolittle. And Ron Howard for Hillbilly Elegy. I love Ron. And then finally, Sia for the movie Music. And the winner is Sia for Music. So she took a pivot into directing this year.
She also took a lot of heat for this movie.
Yes. I haven't seen actually any of these ones, but I don't like Sia. I can't really say I'm a fan of her music at all, but I know she's been like kind of accused of being really creepy with Maddie.
The girl in the movie.
Yeah, who's like, I don't even know what to call her in relation to Sia. She's like her muse. She's in all of Sia's like music videos from the past 10 years.
You know what? It's funny that you say that because last year, Kourtney Kardashian brought in this young, like 20-year-old, I think her name was also Maddie, to live with her. She's a TikTok star.
Oh,
and they had this like super insane bond, like friends, but also Courtney's like 40 and Maddie's just a kid. And so same with Sia and Maddie, maybe. I don't know.
It's weird. Like, I want to say, I don't know where I read this, but that Maddie lives with Sia and she like doesn't let Maddie's like boyfriend come over. And I think Maddie's like an adult now.
Sia, if you're listening, we'd like to know.
Yeah.
You can fact check us if we've got this wrong.
Yeah.
We just want to know the truth.
You need to defend your reputation.
Yeah.
From two girls talking about you.
I did see something about Maddie responding to the criticism for Music. Because obviously they got a lot of heat, I think, because she was portraying a girl with autism.
Right.
Maybe not in the most respectful or true way. I mean, I can't imagine the heat was just for her portraying somebody with autism. They had to do it in a
certain way. And yeah, like those things, you have to like approach those kinds of situations with a lot of thought. And I don't think that happened in this situation.
Mm-hmm. I'm deserving, right.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Next up is Worst Screen Combo.
Oh, okay.
So we have some interesting picks on this one. So we have Rudy Giuliani and his pants zipper from Borat's subsequent movie film. I bet this is a really funny reference, and I'm sad we don't get it. I don't personally care for Borat, but maybe we'll watch it so that we can be in on the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Robert Downey Jr. and his utterly unconvincing Welsh accent from Doolittle.
Okay.
I think Welsh is a hard accent to portray.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe that was just a swing and a miss.
Not even RDJ can do it.
No. We have Harrison Ford and the totally fake-looking CGI dog from Call of the Wild. I'm interested to see this. I'll have to look up some pictures of this.
Yeah, you guys.
I love a good CGI fail.
Right? Like, it's so commonplace now.
Yeah.
How can you
think that they can do better?
Yeah.
And then we have Lauren Lapkus and David Spade for The Wrong Missy. And finally, Adam Sandler and his grating simpleton voice for Hubie Halloween. His grating simpleton voice. These all sound like inside jokes, so maybe we need to watch all of these. I don't think I personally will ever watch Hubie Halloween. I can't watch Adam Sandler's new movies. Like, they just make me too sad for his early movies that are also good.
Has he gone downhill?
Oh my god, so downhill. Like, really? He's been accused of, like, just making movies so that him and his friends can, like, film on location somewhere. Oh. And he's been like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you got me. No, I find them, most of them can be pretty hard to watch. Actually, except for one that he made. He's made a couple with Jennifer Aniston that are pretty watchable. There was one recently called Murder Mystery that Trevor and I watched, and that was pretty good. I did like that one, but I love a murder mystery. So the winner here is Rudy Giuliani and his pants zipper. So there must be a story there. So I think at this point right now, we're going to pause and go look it up.
Okay.
Because I think we need to know.
I would love to watch.
Okay. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. So we looked up the dog from Call of the Wild, and I totally see it. It's definitely in that uncanny valley of, like, it looks so real, but it also looks too real, but not real enough, and very, very unsettling. And I don't really understand the Borat thing.
I guess... It's
like,
a split second where he has his hand, like, behind his pant zipper.
Yeah.
Just feeling around.
Getting interviewed by this young, very, very pretty woman. And yeah. He's being a real creep.
Big time predator vibes.
Oh, so much. Yeah, I didn't like that at all. And he was saying some very, like, unsettling things about COVID and the Trump administration. So, all around unsettling. It was an unsettling watch. So, I'm not sure if I can say. I don't know if that was deserved or not, or if I can tell you I did watch the movie The Wrong Missy, and it's pretty bad. We watched it because we're a big fan of Lauren Lapkus. She's the main actress in it. She's super, super, super funny. If you want a really, really, really good YouTube series, it's called The Earliest Show. It's Lauren Lapkus and Ben Schwartz, and they host an early morning show. It's such a good sense of humor. It's really, really good. So I did watch that, and she's one of those characters who's brash and, like, not self-aware, and there's a lot of pratfalls and stuff. And then David Spade is basically just David Spade. He kind of plays the same character in everything he's in. He's just kind of himself. So I would have chosen that personally, but this is why the Razzies committee needs our voice. Let's move on to Worst Supporting Actor. And there are some pretty heavy hitters in this category. Some gentlemen who you would or would not expect to be nominated for such an award.
The nominees for Worst Supporting Actor are Chevy Chase, the very excellent Mr. Dundee, Rudy Giuliani, the Borat subsequent movie film, Shia LaBeouf, the tax collector, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Iron Mask, and Bruce Willis in Breach, Hardkill, and Survive the Night. And the winner is Borat, subsequent film, Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani himself. And after the scene we just watched, I gotta say that's deserving.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a generally awful human being.
The worst.
None of these movies really call out to me. I did look up what Iron Mask is because I was confused with Man in the Iron Mask, which is a great Leo DiCaprio film.
Or Iron Man.
Or Iron Man, which is a great RDJ film.
Ding, ding, ding.
And did you catch that Bruce Willis was nominated for 3 movies?
Well, I was
Breach, Hard Kill, and Survive the Night. That's 3 movies. And I did look them all up, and they're all just action movies. And I have a feeling that he just is Bruce Willis action character in all 3 of them. I feel like they could have just filmed them back to back to back, and they were like, okay, Mr. Willis, you're filming Breach today. Tomorrow you're gonna film Hard Kill. And he's just like, same shit, different day for
it's
him.
Just Bruce Willis on
just,
set.
Yeah.
Doing action. Oh, that's funny. These are all like movies that have been shelved for years and years, and then because they couldn't produce anything,
right?
Bruce,
they were like, let's dust off this old gem.
In fact, there's 3 really good ones here.
Yeah. They went through the Bruce Willis vault. I do actually like action movies, but I don't know if there's any Bruce Willis movie that I love. Except I think his best role is his role in Friends.
Oh, I 100% agree with you.
He's so good.
Scott,
yeah,
right. Yeah,
David he's just Michael. The love machine,
love
and
machine.
He don't work for nobody but you.
Oh, he's so
yeah, bye,
good.
Bye.
Yeah, and I don't know this to be true for sure, but I feel like Shia LaBeouf would really take pride or at least find joy in a Razzie nomination.
I think so, too.
Yeah, if there's anyone who can own their bad, I think it's him.
Yeah, yeah, he seems like a loose cannon. Yeah, I love him.
Not here to please.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody.
He's here for a good time.
Yeah. Not a long time.
A long time.
Okay, it's the ladies' turn for Worst Supporting Actress. Here we have two from Fantasy Island, but first up is Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy, Lucy Hale, Fantasy Island, Maggie Q, Fantasy Island, Kristen Wiig, Wonder Woman 1984, and Maddie Ziegler, Music.
And the winner is Maddie Ziegler for Music.
Oh, Ziegler. I said Ziegler.
Yeah, both of those gals in Fantasy Island were both pretty bad. I think Maggie Q's maybe a good actor. I don't really know. I haven't really seen her much, but she's gorgeous. But Lucy Hale, I guess best known from Pretty Little Liars, okay, which is the most fantastically terrible TV show that I hate watched every single episode of. She's kind of turning into a little scream queen. She's been in a lot of these like really bad thriller horror movies.
Okay.
So we'll say in her field, she does a great job. In her field of bad horror movies, she's great.
I mean, this is the best of the worst.
The best of the worst.
Yeah.
She really adds like a professional level of terrible acting.
I love it. I love
inspiring.
It. Well, what's funny, I forget if I mentioned this already. So Glenn Close was nominated for a Best Supporting Actor in her role
Oscars.
In Hillbilly Elegy at that other award show at the Oscars for this role. So she was nominated in both the best and the worst categories for the exact same role, exact trial of a character. So really, I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Another nominee on here was Kristen Wiig, and it was really bad. Like, so she was the villain.
Can I just ask, what was she doing in an action
movie? I know. At first she was like this, I liked her character like before she turned into a villain.
Okay.
She was like this kind of pathetic girl that worked at a museum and she was ignored and like,
okay. I can see that being
up her alley. And then, as I said before, she makes a wish and her wish is weird. I think her wish was like, I want to become an apex predator, which here's the thing. Humans are already considered apex predators. We don't have any natural enemies. But anyway, so how it works with Kristen Wiig is that she starts to have like really fast reflexes and she just kind of has like a natural like charisma to her. And then her character's name is Cheetah. Literally, she looks like a cheetah. It's
like some CGI?
Yes.
Oh.
Maybe a mix of CGI and like practical effects, but it was also like Uncanny Valley where it was uncomfortable.
Huh.
It was uncomfortable to watch. I didn't like seeing Kristen Wiig in that type of role.
No, ew.
It's fine.
Okay, the big award.
The big ones.
The big cojones. The
big losers.
Losers of 2021.
So we have Worst Actress. There's a lot of big names on here too. A lot of names I feel like you really like.
Yeah, you know me well.
I do. So we have Anne Hathaway for The Last Thing He Wanted. Katie Holmes for Brahms, The Boy 2, Kate Hudson for Music, Lauren Lapkus for The Wrong Missy, and Anna Maria Sekluka for 365 Days. And the winner is Kate Hudson for Music.
I really do like Kate and also Anne Hathaway, but not necessarily for their acting.
Yeah.
I wonder, Kate probably had no business doing this movie with Sia. Kind of wonder if she has any regrets.
Yeah, I feel like she probably regrets it.
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
I'll let you know how it goes.
I have no idea what Anne Hathaway's movie is.
Mm.
The last movie. And this is we kind of see themes with, you know, there's a few movies that we kind of see interjected through all these categories, but that one kind of came out of nowhere, so... Mm. She must have done a really bad job in that.
Real bad.
And she's, if I'm not mistaken, an Oscar winner, right?
I mean, I believe it.
I don't think so.
For sure, but she's a serious actress.
She's a serious thespian.
Fun fact, her name is Annie.
Oh.
And her stage name, her famous person name is Anne.
She's probably trying to piggyback off Shakespeare's wife's name. Also, fun fact, her name is Anne Hathaway, which was Shakespeare's wife's name.
What?
And yeah, that's real. And her husband kind of looks like Shakespeare. It's really funny. Anyway.
And I feel like she takes herself a little bit seriously.
Yeah.
Like Shakespeare.
Yes. I'm not ready to talk about conspiracy theories on this podcast because I have a lot of them. And there's a lot about Shakespeare, but I don't want to sound like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. So I will move on.
Okay.
I will agree with the Razzie committee that Kate Hudson was likely the worst.
Yeah.
Although Lauren Lapkus was pretty bad in The Wrong Missy too.
Yeah, it all checks in.
And I got to assume that the girl from 365 Days was bad too. She honestly probably deserves the Worst Actress Award just for simply choosing to be a part of that movie.
Hmm.
Girl, have some respect.
Girl. Worst Actor.
Worst Actor.
This category seems like a mixed bag, but I think overall they all probably deserve this nomination. Mm-hmm. Just by the way all the other noms went. Robert Downey Jr. for Doolittle. Mike Lindell for Absolute Proof. Michael?
Oh, Marone. Might be Michelle.
I don't know. Maybe he's French. 365 Days. Adam Sandler, Hubie Halloween, and David Spade in The Wrong Missy.
And the big winner is Mike Lindell.
Mm.
So we just took a break to do a little bit more digging on what Absolute Proof is. But apparently it is a documentary, and I'm doing some heavy air quotes here.
Fingers are wagging.
Because it is not a documentary, because it's not based in any realm of fact. He made it about what he thinks is evidence that a Chinese cyber attack flipped the 2020 election. And seen like bits and pieces, and it's just like outrageous.
Ugh. So first of all, we should note that we couldn't even find a trailer.
Right. This didn't even have a trailer that we could just like sample. Everything that we read was like either other people talking about it or like him being interviewed. But so this guy is the CEO of MyPillow. It's like a self-made, he's like a self-made success, I'll say.
I think this came after many half-baked ideas.
Right.
Or ideas.
Ideas, because it's worth noting, is a recovering crack addict.
Mm-hmm. Their words, not ours.
Their words. And not to poke fun at addiction. Certainly not. Mm-hmm. We would never dream of doing that. But it may be worth noting that maybe there are some things going on in his brain.
Underlying issues.
So he is a Trump supporter, so he does believe that. He kept talking about the algorithm, like as if he knows what an algorithm is. He believes that it got hacked and changed the outcome of the election, which we all know now is just false. Not only was the election not hacked, but they also didn't commit any fraud from mail-in ballots either. Like, we just know that now. So I do think that he's a fucking moron.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's well deserved.
Yeah.
I also do enjoy that he's listed as an actor.
Right. Because not accurate.
No. It's because he does, I guess, play himself, but it is just pure fiction,
so
even
stupid.
Though it is billed as a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
We have reached the main event.
Worst picture of 2020.
The nominees are
365 Days, Absolute Proof, Doolittle, Fantasy Island, and Music.
And the winner is,
drumroll please,
Absolute Proof. So well deserved. So how he even like created this movie is kind of hilarious too. He just paid for airtime, and so one video we watched of these two guys like explaining it was, it started with a huge disclaimer from the network saying that like he just purchased this airtime, this does not reflect our views. So I think it's so funny that like this network had to put this huge disclaimer like Like, I know, guys. He's
like, yeah, I gotta put some distance there.
So absolutely, definitely deserved here. But I'm feeling bad for Doolittle and RDJ.
Aww.
He's on here a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I really think 365 days is just such a ridiculous concept. And it's so concerning to me. Like I said, that it's billed as a romance. That's scary. So.
Questionable, yeah.
Questionable. But, of course, we have to give it up for the absolute waste of oxygen, Mike Lindell. Congrats on being such a loser.
Bravo to you. Absolutely outstanding.
Razzie's also presented a very special award this year to the year 2020 itself.
Oh, so deserving. Yeah. Also.
Thanks, 2020, for being awful for so many people.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it, guys. The worst of the worst for 2020, according to the Golden Raspberries Committee. I'm excited for next year when we have our say. You know, this makes me miss Ed the Sox fromage that used to always air for over all Christmas.
All you Canadian kids.
Yeah.
Will definitely know what we're talking about.
Much Music.
We loved that.
He would basically review, I think, all the worst movie videos, yep, or music videos, rather, of the year. I really lived for that show.
Yeah.
It was like the highlight of my Christmas vacation.
Agreed. We learned cynicism at a very young age. So I'd like to thank the Golden Raspberries for being a very entertaining celebration of terrible movies, for owning their bad. It is certainly not stuffy and pretentious like some other awards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. We want to know, what was the worst movie you saw in 2020? Drop us a note. You can find us on Instagram. Our handle is @UnsolicitedFlickPicsPodcast. We'll see you next time.
Bye.